Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
So, Bruce, a 4-0, very convincing 4-0 Oilers win. They outchanced the Chicago Blackhawks 14-10 for grade A chances this game. And it was a big win for the team. Bruce, we'll do the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers for this game. What's your good thing?
Well, I mean, we got to go with Mikko Koskinen as the big thing tonight. You know, I'm racking my brain as to why I shouldn't give him a 10. I've just started writing the grades, but I can't think of anything to fault him on. Like, what, you know, it wasn't like it was a light night's work. It wasn't like he didn't have any tough saves. It wasn't like he made any mistakes or coughed the puck up and then recovered. He was just excellent from beginning of the game right through. All the time the game was on the line, he was great. And then in the third, when Chicago, especially after 3-0, Chicago saw the writing on the wall, their second game in two nights, and Edmonton started to flow, right? They started hitting everything, dumping the puck in. All of a sudden, Edmonton was doing everything right. By the end, they were running away with it. But it was only because of Mikko Koskinen that it was 1-0 Edmonton late in the second period that, you know, it could have easily been 2-1, 3-1 Chicago at that point. And
it was the best goaltending performance we've seen this year by an Oilers goalie, following up on maybe the one of the next best. Koskinen's both games he's been...
Looks good, eh?
He's looked good, and...
So friggin' huge. I mean, he fills the net, but he's also got good reflexes. I mean, he's a little unorthodox. He likes the kick saves, eh? I mean, I don't know when the last time I've seen a goalie make that many kick saves in a game, but he gets his leg, he gets his calf down flat on the ice while he's doing it, so there's no room for the puck to slide under his leg and into the net. And he, that save he made, Jonathan Toews, the Oilers are ahead 1-0, they finally get a power play sort of more than halfway through the game, and the power play comes out and blows a tire, and Chicago gets four great chances, one missed the net, and the Toews breakaway, I mean, that was Jonathan Toews going for his 300th NHL goal against a guy playing his sixth game. I mean, it doesn't matter which one. I think Koskinen might actually be the older of the two, but whatever, you know, it's not quite, but it basically was rookie against Hall of Famer, and the rookie came out on top of that play, and that was, you know, that was his signature save, as Henrik Lundqvist might put it.
There was some other really nice saves, though. I mean, there was a handful. He was Dryden-esque in that game.
His blocker, eh? Really good.
Just everything about him. He looks from someone who in his first exhibition games was making people freak out and say, you know, of course, everyone was jumping all down Chiarelli's throat for signing this guy to $2.5 million. Well, it's a little early to judge the overall signing, but what we're seeing right now is some excellent goaltending and someone who looks like he's going to be pushing Cam Talbot this year for starts and net. And it's the first time we've had that.
And for next year's contract, one of them.
Yeah, that's right. One of them's going to get it, and it's not sure who yet. Talbot's looked good in some games, but Talbot's had some weak games, too, where he's been outplayed by the opposition goalie, and that was not the case tonight. The Oilers got the better goaltending, and that's how you win hockey games in the NHL.
Think of Koskinen as a tall Ken Dryden.
My good thing, Bruce, is another kind of whipping boy of the Oilers Twitter sphere, and that's Drake Caggiula. And Caggiula's I've never understood the kind of immense negative reaction that he's starting to draw from people. He must have some kind of bad stat that I don't pay any attention to. But he's a decent – I've always found him to be a good attacking winger. Not great defensively, but he's still a young player for the NHL. Yeah, he's an experienced player. And tonight, the goal that he – that first goal was fantastic hands. And the second goal as well. He was flying out there, playing with a lot of confidence. And he's going to be hard to budge from the lineup, Bruce. I don't see him leaving the lineup anytime soon. I mean, Ty Ratty is coming back. I honestly, and I know like all these people, Yamamoto, I just don't see it like honestly myself with Yamamoto. I think he really needs to go to the AHL, I think. And Kajula is, he's a better player right now than Kyler Yamamoto. It's not close. And that line finally got an even strength goal. They've been a few games, had they not, without an even strength goal, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that kind of was part of the line got one last game.
Okay.
When I can't remember, was it McDavid's goal? Was that even strength? But it was, the line was broken up at that time. And anyway, they, like Yamamoto wasn't on the ice for that goal either. But Kajula, I mean, he actually, what he has to do is put games anywhere close to this good together. I mean, obviously, you don't expect a two-goal night every time out. But last game, he had his struggles. He was in the penalty box for one goal. He was on the penalty kill watching a goal go in. He was at regular strength watching a goal go in. And he had a tough night, and he needed to bounce back. And there was people questioning, well, what's he doing on the first line? What's he done to deserve the first line? Should be Jesse, should be Tyler, should be the man.
Leave Pagliardi on the third line for a while and let him settle in. Calm down, everybody. Like, it was when he moved up to play with Draisaitl that his game fell apart. He was playing well, Pagliardi, until that happened. So people just need to calm down about that.
Yeah, well, they got it was just one of those days, David, where you could say the coach played some hunches, or you can parse it however you want. But whatever lineup decisions that got made today paid off in spades. And whatever signing decisions, you know, like it was Kajula got put in first line, they used Koskinen instead, Garrison's still in the lineup. You know,
yes, Garrison scored too.
And then you can look at the offseason signings, and there you got Koskinen being an absolute hero in his home debut. You got both PTO guys scoring a goal, right? Garrison and Chiasson scored. Reeder, one of the offseason signings, he had a wonderful game, I thought. And they're just, they've got, it was just one of those games where if you hate management and coaching, you're going to grit your teeth about this win because it was their moves that paid off in this particular game. Now, if you're a little bit more laid back, you might as well laugh. Winners laugh. Everything worked out. Oilers won. There was garbage time when we were on top of the scoreboard and the other guys were on the bottom of the scoreboard. You know, actually, this was the first garbage time of the season. Of the previous 11 games, 6 were one-goal games, and the other 5 had empty netters in.
Yeah, so what it, Bruce, can I hear that winner's laugh? I'm not from, like, how does that?
The winner's laugh, yeah. Well, that's what you laugh in spite of yourself.
I have kind of a cackle.
You laugh in spite of yourself, saying, well, I didn't see that coming, but ha-ha. Well, you know what? It's 4-0.
Sweet. And Brodziak played well, too. Like,
yeah, he did. Brodziak. That whole fourth line, I thought, well, I got to say, yeah, he's not on my list for kudos under our format, but Zach Kassian, man, did he have a good game too. He really looked like the best he's looked in a long, long time.
Okay, let's move on to the bad things, and I'll start with mine, and that's that line of Strom, Lucic, and Puljujarvi in this game. They had some good moments in the game, and Lucic, I think, has looked at home and been contributing well since he moved to the third line. Strom, he is what he is. He's a decent NHL player. Puljujarvi's inconsistent up and down. They had one absolutely incredible chance on a beautiful pass through, passing play between them, and Puljujarvi just could not put it in. Like, if there was a guy who needed a goal and a line that needed a goal, it's that line and that player. But so the bad thing is he didn't score. The good thing is that line performed well enough, and I didn't see any glaring mistakes by that group of players. And we'll see him back next game, I'm sure.
Yeah, the bad thing is just, you know, they're not ever getting rewarded, even when they do things right. And that's, I mean, that's where you can draw a bad thing. Their play actually wasn't bad at all.
That's right. The bad thing's not getting the goal.
Strom had 5 shots in this game.
What's your bad thing, Bruce?
Oh, well, I got to single out that one power play. Man, oh, man, your head won nothing. You got your chance to come out and put your throat on the other team. And your power play comes out and it fumbles the ball around. And pucks, you know, twice Chicago got clean cut odd man rushes. The first time Taves was completely in alone, and it was just lost battles and guys that weren't quite in the right position. And I think the puck might have skipped over the D-man stick to Taves, and all of a sudden he's gone. I mean, he scores It's a different game. And then, like 45 seconds later, they're bearing down on a 2-on-1, and they get two more great chances from close range. I mean, Chicago had, I bet you they had more shots shorthanded than power play. Well, not quite. I guess they had 6 on the power play and 3 shorthanded, but they outshot, Edmonton had 4 shots on the power play to 3.
In terms of scoring chances, Bruce, their power play didn't generate one grade A scoring chance that I saw. No. And the shorthanded had 3. And I was cursing Draisaitl myself at that moment. I just thought, I'm so sick of him. He's such a fan. He can be such a fantastic player. But when he slows down and his feet stop moving, it's so annoying because he's so ineffective when that happens. And he just got to, you know, wake up, buddy. Like, move your feet. Get moving. And you can be a dominant player in this NHL, but on that power play, he's kind of coasting around, tiptoeing in and losing the puck. And I found it particularly annoying.
McDavid didn't exactly have a great time of it on that power play either. Like he had the puck wide open and he fumbled it, and then he fumbled it a second time and they iced it. And then the Oilers couldn't get their stuff together after that. And McDavid himself was implicit, I think, on one of the that's the wrong word, but he was a culprit on one of the 2-on-1. I think he made an error on, and that was 2 chances. And it was just, you want to see the killer instinct, and at minimum you want to see crisp, right? And the fact that the other team has gone down to 4, that's not the time to relax and start making, you know, casual or hot dog plays, you know. And I'm not saying that's exactly what happened on any specific play here, just the team as a whole, it seemed like they let up, and all of a sudden here they're coming at the goalie in waves when they got 4 and Oilers got 5.
It was no good. So my number for the night is the number 6. It was the team leading contributions, major contributions, contributions to scoring chances of Tobias Rieder tonight.
Oh,
I thought he played really well, and he's been playing well for some time now. He's a very north-south player.
Yeah.
Really sticks his nose in there, helps set up a couple goals. And, he's been good. That line, you know, it's fascinating. Who would have guessed that Chiasson and Rieder would be the line mates for Draisaitl that would be making Draisaitl go? I mean, Rieder was talked about in that role, but Chiasson certainly wasn't. But Chiasson just seems like Joe Sniper, and Rieder's working his butt off out there, and he just had a very effective game. Another one. He's really stepped up, and he's earned a spot.
I think, you know, you want to talk about line decisions. The one that McClellan made 4 or 5 games ago to put the 2 vets on Draisaitl's line. And Leon's, I mean, he might bug you from time to time, but his overall game has definitely improved.
It has.
And playing with those 2 vets. Chiasson, it's just, I'm watching him play, and I just can't believe the guy was available on a PTO. Like, he's huge. He's like 28 years old. It's not like he's some old guy hanging on for one more year. He's smart, like he uses the boards well on his passes. He's got a wicked release on his shot. I mean, the one that he hammered off the crossbar there in the first period, was there a second? Anyway, just the puck was on his stick. Snap, it was gone and right over Ward's shoulder and bing. And that's like second time this series absolutely rung a rocket off the post in addition to the 5 goals that he scored in 7 games. Like, the guy is just firing seeds out there at the moment and making good plays and smart plays and defensive plays. Like, I'm just trying to say, well, where's the weak link here? There must be something wrong with this guy that he's available. And maybe he's one of those cases where he's Ethan Morrow, where for a week he looks like the best player in the world, and then the next 3 weeks later you're wondering where his head is, on Mars or or Venus, right? But maybe he's like that. But right now his head is in Edmonton, and he has been playing just terrific hockey. There's nothing to criticize.
Bruce, ever since he took his first shift in preseason, I thought, hey, this guy can play. It's been really nice surprise. So it's not just been a few games here. It's been since every shift, almost every single shift, I think, hey, there's an NHL player there. The Oilers are lucky to have gotten this guy. And so we'll see how it plays out. Bruce, what's your number?
I, too, am going to have a look at the scoring chance route, and I'm going to single out Connor McDavid for his mediocre night. Now, I don't mean to really – this is just a lens to look at something else, but he contributed to 4 other scoring chances, which is a light number for him, 4 chances against, and really to my eye – he had relatively little impact on this game. He did to set up the first goal. I mean, he's McDavid. He made some nifty plays here and there, but he wasn't really driving the play. And, you know, we heard that he was sick last weekend, and I wasn't, you know, I'm not sure that he's, let's hope it's not last year again, but the good news is that the way that the supporting cast came up, this was that rare night where Edmonton didn't need the top-notch showing from their top guns to have a chance, you know. They got 4 goals with McDavid getting 1 secondary assist and Draisaitl getting 1 secondary assist. Nugent Hopkins, did he get one? He got 1 assist as well on the first goal.
I thought Nuge was good this game.
Yeah, he was good, yeah. I mean, he had 4 takeaways in this game, but, you know, that – it was a really a team effort, and this was probably the best game from the bottom 9, certainly the bottom 6 that we've seen, and you know, just different contributions from up and down the lineup. And it was one of those nights where McDavid, he only played 18 minutes and 34 seconds. I'm sure that's a season low, and he was. Not just because they had garbage time late, but just because they were able to roll the lines because the other lines were effective.
Yeah, big win, and a lot is trending right for the Edmonton Oilers right now. They've got top 4 defensemen are playing well. Klefbom and Larson in particular are just really having their...
Well, Larson's been a monster of late.
So is Klefbom. Yeah, really both of them. Well. They've gotten the goaltending most nights, not every night. I'd say... they've had at least as good goaltending about half the time so far. So, and, you know, I'd say Talbot's probably had two bad games out of probably 2 or 3 bad games out of the 12 starts for Oiler goalies. So that's a huge improvement from last year as well. So things are going well. Bruce, let's leave it there. I know you got to write the game grade. So
I sure do. And I'm having fun parsing this one with going to be lots of 6s and 7s all over the place tonight, I think, and not in the usual places.
All righty. Thanks, Bruce, for talking.
Right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.